Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
The role of fathers has changed monumentally over the past half century. But if you want to learn how to be a real pro at being a dad, then my guest, Dr. David Hill, is the man to help us. So, Dr. Hill, what do you think is the most important part that dads need to learn to be the best dad they can be?
You know, it's very simple, Melanie. Just you can do this. I think dads get a lot of messages from popular culture, from other dads, sometimes family members, that, oh my gosh, we're a guy, we're not going to be competent at this whole taking care of a child baby thing. But you know what? We're competent at other things. Why can't we do this?
Well, and there's so many more stay-at-home dads these days as women are rising up in the workplace more and more. So you wrote a book, Dad to Dad, Parenting Like a Pro. What do you want dads to know to begin? They're about to have a new baby. What should they be doing?
Yeah, you know, first you got to be understanding a mom. This is a partnership, right? So the better you support mom, the larger your role is likely to be. If you can go, for example, to birthing classes with mom, if she's going to take breastfeeding classes, be there. Because just because you're not the one actually having the baby, maybe you're not the one actually feeding the baby, knowing what she's doing and knowing how you can help her out makes you a much more valuable member of the team. And when you invest in that sort of effort and show that you're willing to learn and be hands-on, then when other things come up that you want to do, like cuddle the baby or take the baby for a walk or go out for an outing or watch him for a few hours at home, then you're going to have already shown that you're tuned in, you care, you know what to do, and that's going to set a really positive tone for the family relationship, really from that point on out.
Now, as children grow a little bit, I find in my own situation, my husband is less patient with the kids than I am. So what do we do if one spouse is more or less patient than the other? How do you get, you know, if it's the dad, him to realize that kids are kids and they mess around sometimes?
You know, I think part of it is admitting what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are. And when you're lucky enough to have two parents in the home, and of course not everybody does have two parents in the home, but that's a good time to say, you know, honey, this is one of your things. I'm going to let you do this because I know you have more patience with this than I do, and then I'm going to take on my thing. Sometimes that division of labor really helps. But another thing that helps is to familiarize yourself with what normal developmental expectations are for a child. So, you know, I'll see parents come in and their 18-month-old won't sit still. They're like, sit still, sit still. It's not going to happen. An 18-month-old is not going to sit still, but a 5-year-old really should be able to sit still for a little while. And so, you know, you might want to get yourself familiar with what appropriate developmental steps occur at each age so that you're not expecting too much or, conversely, too little of a child at a given age.
I think that's such good advice. You do have to understand what's expected or what children can accomplish at certain ages, because then you don't have these over expectations like the 18-month-old who doesn't sit still. What about tools to be a good father? Are there some things that you think fathers should have, whether innate or something, besides going to buy your book, because that is certainly a great book? But is there some tools you like, do men learn to meditate? Do they need to learn about girls and sexuality and as girls enter puberty? What tools would you like them to have?
Boy, they need to learn all those things. But I think the thing, and I talk about this in the book, that is probably the most useful tool for men is active listening. There's a thing about listening that men are not necessarily taught. It's not always part of our acculturation, but there's a way of sort of acknowledging what the other person is saying, repeating it back to them, asking if you understand it, restating it, saying, so what I think you're telling me is that we need to get our baby to sleep earlier. Is that right? And just those sorts of listening skills can help a lot of men deal better in the family. They make women more comfortable talking to us. They'll make our kids more comfortable talking to us later on. And they don't really change what we're ultimately doing, but they do help with communication. And I think communication is a place where many of us can use a little bit of extra instruction and attention.
How can men learn to communicate better? So if they become, one step is to become a better listener and try and understand what either your child is telling you that they need or what your wife is telling you, your partner is telling you that they need in the way of help. But what else can make men that might not be the greatest communicators better at that?
You know, I think one thing that's very simple is something that you see on children's shows like Sesame Street. You'll see your child learning this, and yet somehow a lot of us manage to miss it or de-emphasize it, which is just to recognize emotions as we're feeling them and as other people are feeling them. It seems so elementary, but just naming, boy, I think I'm feeling kind of angry right now, or I'm getting really frustrated. And then stating that aloud, you know, boy, I'm getting frustrated, and from your face, it looks to me like maybe you're getting frustrated too. Am I right, or are you just tired? We don't name emotions all that often, and yet it's such a basic part of being able to relate well to other people in our families. So I'd encourage men to sort of exercise naming their own emotions and naming other people's emotions.
I think that's great. I'm going to try that tonight with my husband and ask him to name his emotions. And speaking of what I'm going to try tonight, what can you tell the women listening, Dr. Hill, that they can do to help their men name their emotions or communicate, listen better? How can, because we don't want to nag at them and say, would you listen? Or,
yeah,
come on, tell me what you're feeling right now because it's driving me crazy. We don't want to do that, but yet that's what we do. How can women get involved in this to help our men do these things you're suggesting?
I think many women find emotional communication so obvious and so
yes,
clear that they find a hard time. They find it hard to understand just how uncomfortable or how unnatural it may be to men. And they may assume that the man in their life gets what they're feeling because of their facial expression, because of their behavior, because of what obviously just happened. Who wouldn't get it? But women dealing with men probably need to name their emotions in ways that are shockingly clear to them. Like, honey, I'm getting really frustrated with you right now. I feel like it should be clear to you that the baby needs a diaper change and obvious to you that I'm still doing the dishes from dinner tonight and that I'm getting angry at you because the baby's crying and you seem to still be watching TV. Are you getting that right now? Do you see that? And that can maybe sort of open up a conversation that wasn't happening before.
So we shouldn't knock on their head and say hello. Do you see what's
going
on around?
To some extent, you do have to knock on our head and say hello sometimes. Say, are you getting what I'm saying here? Just check in.
Sometimes
it's that basic.
And we want to, as women, do that without sounding like a big nag.
Yeah, it's tough because if it's something that's come up before, you know, you can feel like you're nagging. Or it may just be something that needs a clear resolution. Or something that we have to be reminded, and that happens on all sides of all relationships. Yeah, that's a common struggle in any relationship, is getting people to listen and agree and remember what they agreed to in the past or said they were going to do, and you know, that's part of the give and take.
It certainly is. In the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Hill, and you're such a great guest, give us your best advice for parenting like a pro from dad to dad.
Oh, wow. Get in there. Do it. Don't think that there is something you can't do just because you're a guy. So take it on, ask some questions, and go to town.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. David Hill. And for more information, you can go to RadioMD.com. And remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.